Going to continue in the study of Romans. We're going to go over the same verses 1 through 8 of chapter 12. Therefore, I urge, beg, beseech, plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable or pleasing to God, which is your reasonable spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes or gives in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So what we learned last week was really the entrance into what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. The entrance into body life ministry is full surrender unto God. We look at verse 1, and it's about surrendering your whole being. Because once you surrender your body, you're surrendering everything, because the body encapsulates your spirit, your mind, and your heart. So you're living for God alone. And then the second part, verse 2, is being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that has to do with saturating our lives with the Word of God. It has everything to do with allowing God to use the Word implanted in our lives to change us. And then we learn that we need to have an attitude. So verses 3 through 8, we address the attitude that we would have as we are within the body of Christ with one another. An attitude of humility, an attitude of service, servanthood. I exist to serve others. I don't exist to serve myself for Christ's sake. And the gifts that I have are given to me to use to help others, to encourage others, and to glorify Christ prayerfully and lovingly. So when we looked at those concepts, ideas, the attitude, now we're going to look at the specifics this week a little bit. We're going to look at some of the specifics. Now in the handout that you are given, a listing of the various points at which Paul the Apostle or Peter reflects on the various gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in Romans, he only addresses about 6 gifts. So they didn't have access. That church did not have access to 1 Corinthians yet. So they didn't have a chance to read 1 Corinthians 12 yet. Eventually they did, later on. But Corinth, the reason why 1 Corinthians was written, 1 Corinthians was written because of a church that was really messed up. Corinth was a very messed up church, and it really reflects the Western church today, the 20th, 21st century church, with all the messes. The new churches that are being planted that are brand new on the mission field tend to be a little more healthier, more passionate in the sense of seeking God, etc. Some places may have some baggage, but this is a church that has been a church for a while, Corinth. And they had a lot of baggage, and they succumbed to compromise, to sexual compromise, to personality-driven kinds of things. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, those kinds of things. So they were very messed up. So to look at Corinth and say, I'm going to base how to do church based upon how they do things, is not a good idea. Maybe to base on if I do some things, and then listen to the instructions that Paul gives regarding if I do these certain things, then I need to do them this way. But it didn't apply to every single church. Various specifics. There are principles that we can glean from. And so he does address the gifts of the Spirit. And there's about 9 various gifts there that are addressed in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And then there are leadership gifts or functional giftedness categories in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31. When he lists apostles, that's not a gift, that's a leader, gifted leader. Prophets, gifted leader. Teachers, gifted leader. He didn't say teaching, he said teachers. Miracles, therefore, so when you look through this, you're saying, these are not gifts specifically, they are functioning roles and priorities of those functioning roles. When we get down to 1 Peter 7 through 11, Peter only addresses 2 things, speaking and serving. Speaking and serving. What Peter does, and you would have thought Paul would have done this, but Peter does this. He dissects all the gifts of the Spirit into 2 broad categories. So there's 2 broad categories that Peter addresses in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. You have speaking, which includes what apostles, prophets do, evangelists, pastoring teachers, the gift of prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, speaking in various kinds of languages. And may I say this, these are not unknown languages. Dialectos and the other words like glossa, glossolalia, and those all relate to living languages or languages that are real human languages. So they're not humdada, humdada, shimdada, shimdada, you know, because they've tackled you to force you to speak in tongues or something, and you're kicking them in the shin. You say, kick me in the shin, kick me in the shin. You can't barely say it. Oh, you're speaking in tongues. There you go. No, this is real languages. In all the cases that we find in the book of Acts, we find those instances where there were other languages and there were Jewish people there with the apostles or whoever's doing it. And it's a confirmation of a passage in Isaiah that relates to, although I speak to them in foreign languages, they will not listen to me. So it's actually quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So Paul is addressing something about a confirmation there. So let me move on. Leadership kinds of gifts mostly are in the speaking category. Okay? So when you think of leadership, most leadership is like a coach or those who lead as they're speaking. You also have leaders who aren't necessarily speakers but doers. And when I think of deacons, when I think of Acts chapter 6 and those 7 guys who were set apart for helping with the distribution to the saints, to the Hellenistic Jews, the widows, when they were set aside like that, they weren't going to be able to feed all those people. They were team leaders. Think of it this way. They're team leaders. The deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, the deacons relate to doers, relate to leaders, but there's no requirement for them to be teachers, to teach the word. But if you go up in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, which relates to elders, they are required to be able to teach. So you don't necessarily always have to be a teacher. But I will say that those who are deacons, they have to speak. They have to teach a little. They have to help. They're team leaders. They're action team leaders. And I would say that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastoring teachers in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, those are speakers. They have to do leadership. They have to deal with speaking, teaching, bringing forth the word, and to be able to lead by example as well as word. So all the leadership gifts, I would conclude mostly, let me put it this way, mostly are in the speaking category. Now you have the other side, which Peter addresses is ministering and serving, hands on. So you would take a lot of those gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, and you can put those in there. Those are hands on, touching people, getting in the muck of things. Teaching is not a part of this. This is more, I'm touching you. So helps, acts of mercy, serving, generosity, miracles, healings. Those kinds of gifts fit into this category. When you think of miracles, when you think of all those kinds of gifts, when you think of Jesus, Jesus had all the gifts, but we don't see him exhibit the gifts of various languages. But we do see him with every gift, and we know the Holy Spirit is the one who gives all the gifts. So he may include something in your life and through you personally, and they may benefit others. I'm not saying this is the way he always does things, but he has the right to be able to give you gifts for a certain period of time just so that you can be used and then switch out the gifts if he wants to, because it's his prerogative according to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, as he provides. He provides. So helps, acts of mercy, serving, generosity, miracles, healings, those kinds of gifts are ministering and serving. They're touching people's lives. The speaking kind of gifts are those that attach to the mind and the ears and the eyes and help to teach people content and information, the Word of God, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, speaking in various languages, interpreting various languages. Those kinds of gifts all relate to getting the Word of God into us. If you're in a town like Corinth, Corinth was a polytheistic but also polylinguistic town. Many languages. That church planted there needed to be able to speak and to reach those people who were passing through as they took their boat through the isthmus there from one side of the sea to the other. When they took the boats, they would hang out there. It was pirate town almost. It was like Las Vegas. It was like New York City. It was all those kinds of things blended together. And so the church was planted there, needed those gifts to be able to reach those people. No other church in the New Testament addresses these gifts, that is, in teaching, in the epistles. When we go through Romans through Jude, only 1 Corinthians addresses this gift. And Paul takes three chapters, what we would call three chapters, to address this issue. So they were abusing various gifts. They were in pride. They were misusing gifts, and Paul is addressing them. In Romans, he does not address these kinds of gifts. So speaking and ministering, two broad categories. Now that tells us how we're wired. So think of team, think of a local church family with a number of people, and you have various groupings around the world. Think of that as teams. Everywhere you go, you have those who are speakers, leaders, and those who have hands-on work. In a football team, you have the coach. He's not on the field, but you have the team players, but you have the offensive team and the defensive team. And in those two teams, you have captains that motivate their teams to do things. Those would be like deacons. The coach and coaching staff is like the pastoral staff. I mean, that's kind of the way you look at that. The ones who talk a lot are the coaches and coaching staff. The ones who get to work and actually do the work. So think of that as speakers and ministry. Those who are ministering and serving. So in the same way, we see that in the body of Christ. You see those who are speaking, teaching, leading. You don't want them to be doing things that those who have the gifts of serving and ministering do. And those who are ministering, you don't want them to be doing other things. You want to be doing those things that you were called to do and that God has gifted you for. Now, for an example, and I've had this in my life, you may have had this in your life. Those who have helps and acts of mercy, types of gifts, they are really good at those gifts, but they see the whole world in the way they see things and the way they look, because God has wired them that way. And God has given the gifts of His Spirit that way in their lives. And many times, they have a tendency to think that everyone else in the body of Christ should have their gift. And in many cases, they may tend. I'm not saying all have done this, but I've seen this more with this gift than any. That there was almost a guilt that comes across. That if you're not seeing and doing what they're doing, then there's something wrong with you. And that you need to be a part of doing this. I have no problem with someone who has those kinds of gifts to put a team event together for us to go and reach out, and they can lead by example in doing those things. And we can assist those people in that team. I can assist them, but I don't have those gifts. I don't have that ability. I don't have those kinds of, I'm not wired that way. But they are. I would, in that domain of what they do, I will be there to assist them. They are leading in that domain, in that context. I may be there to encourage them. I may speak encouragement to them. But I'm not going to be the one who has those gifts. And so God's intention is not for any of us, no matter what giftedness that we have, me as a pastoring teacher, to expect everyone to see the world the way I do. I mean, I wake up in the morning with sermons. I see things, and I look at things, and I have illustrations of teaching that come to mind when I see various things around the world. And I'm sure the stand-up comedian, when he's doing things, now, of course, I'm taking this out of context, out of the church, but a stand-up comedian looks at everything and looks at material for his next gig that relates to his comedy routine. In the same way, I look for and see things, and I go, wow, that's a great illustration I'm going to use next time I'm teaching. I do not expect and want anybody else who doesn't have these gifts to have it. I wouldn't guilt them. Now, all of us are called to do the things in some way, shape, or form that all those gifts relate to. So think of those gifts as a superabundant, efficient skill set that relates to that kind of area in life that the church as a whole should be doing. The church as a whole should be merciful and do acts of kindness and goodness. The church as a whole should be spreading the gospel like an evangelist, like a Billy Graham. But not everybody in the body of Christ is going to have that kind of gift. But we can assist, we can help, we can pass out flyers, we can do things. You see, all of the gifts that relate to healings, all the gifts that relate to miracles, yes, God wants all of those things to happen through the body when He does those things. But not all of us are going to have those gifts. And there's no way that God would say that every single Christian needs to have all the gifts. Only Jesus has that. Only the Holy Spirit has all the gifts. And then each one of us get a portion of faith, a portion of that grace, the portion of that giftedness. It's related to what God intends for us. So what God's intention is for us to simply use our spiritual gifts, not glyphs. These are spiritual gifts to glorify Christ and serve others in the name of Christ, not to make others have our gift and then just rest in Him. That's the cool part of what God wants us to be doing with those gifts. Now, in that list that you have, if you go to the third part where it talks about, where it shows 1 Corinthians 12, 28 to 31, there's a question in there. He questions every one of those gifts there in the latter part of that passage. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all have, you know, speaking tongues? And, you know, the implicit response would be, the rhetorical response would be, of course not. And that's what he's saying here. So there are teachings out there, of course. And we all know that. That if you're saved, then you need to have this other kind of event that occurs in your life. And you have to have speaking in tongues for that to happen. That flies in the face of what Paul says. And I look through all of these passages, Romans and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter 4. There is nothing in any of those passages that says, but wait, for you to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you need to have this extra thing. extra wham bam explosion of God in your life for you to receive the gifts. He says, as each is apportioned the grace. When did I receive his grace? When I was saved. The simple reading of all those passages is that I receive the gifts when I am born again. Doesn't mean I'm efficient in using my gift yet, or gifts that he's given me. But I have received, because I've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he has all the gifts. And he can manifest his giftedness through me. It's Jesus leaking out in a certain way, basically. Manifesting himself in a certain way. As you were geared, as you were wired, he fits the gifts and fits you. It fits you in the body of Christ. That's what he does. And the rest here is, it's his responsibility for it. And then I address this, the team aspect of everything. The gifts are given so that we, as a team, would reach the world for Christ. And so if we're not reaching the world for Christ, then we're just kind of wasting our time. Those two broad categories of speaking and ministering, God uses for us to be a team together. That's his goal, to knit and to build a church that has all of these gifts. And that is the goal. It is not so that we feel happy. It is not so that we feel comfortable. It's not so that we had a zap from God on Sunday morning or on Wednesdays or whatever. The main goal is so that we would work together to reach the lost for Christ as a team. So the goal here is for us to use our gifts of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ, to encourage one another, to build up one another, to be a part of the equipping process overall. So my gifts are used for you. Your gifts are used for me or for each other. And then let us rest in Christ, knowing we've done everything, if we've done everything. If we haven't, if we've been lazy, of course, that's a different thing. But let us rest in Christ, knowing that we've done all that we can do in Christ's strength, being led by him, by his Spirit, for his glory, according to the gifts he's provided for us. The caution here is, using the gifts that God has given you, using them for his glory. Not trying to be somebody else, not trying to be somebody who you aren't in Christ, but resting in the giftedness that he's given you. And so that's basically all I have to say today. Next week, what we want to do is look through some of these gifts, give more definitions of what they are, such as prophecy. What is that? Administrations. What is he talking about? So we'll get a little more detailed. This week was more team, categories, how we work together, understanding the concepts and ideas of being God's army, of being warriors for Christ together. And when you think of a platoon, when you think of any kind of warrior team group, they all have different roles in that, what they do. And so in the same way, God does that through us. So let's stand and let's worship God with this last song today.